And I remember the night that it happened, like Sam and I were on a call. We talked to VJ and closed the terms. And I got up out of my desk after that closed, and it was late at night. I don't even remember what time. Stumbled into the bathroom and just like saw myself in the mirror. And I like had this, I think I took a selfie actually, because I was like, this is what it looked like to close, you know, that round. And I just looked haggard. I mean, it looked like I hadn't slept in 3 days. I was wearing just like a big baggy shirt and bags under my eyes. I was just like, not that glamorous, not going to pop champagne, just going to try and get some sleep. And it was just such a good feeling, but also it was very rewarding, but also like felt different than what you probably expected to feel like.
I'm Ben Grenell, part of the early startup team here at Levels. We're building tech that helps people to understand their metabolic health, and this is your front row seat to everything we do. This is a whole new level. Between January and July of 2020, a lot had changed for Levels, and a lot had changed in the world. At the beginning of the year, the Levels team started fulfilling orders. The initial members, they were getting the orders they had placed in 2019. And we all know what happened around the beginning of March in the world. Things were drastically different. In the startup ecosystem, this meant that conversations with VCs, that's venture capitalists, well, they dried up pretty quickly. People were hesitant to do anything. There's so much risk and ambiguity with startups to begin with that there were these unknowns. Would companies survive? Would they find a way to be resilient, to pivot, to continue to get traction through COVID? Nobody knew. And so it wasn't until the summer, almost a year to the date that Levels had been incorporated, that conversations started to return in the fundraising ecosystem. And so over the course of the summer and into the fall, the Levels team continued to execute. In July, the waitlist was growing. Things were picking up on platforms like Twitter and Instagram, where the earliest beta members were sharing screenshots of their data, talking about this new platform, this program, this product, this new company that they had their eye on. And this raised awareness all around. So when conversations returned with investors, the dynamic was much different. The Levels team was able to raise a $12 million seed round, which gave even more fuel to ramp things up. And so this is the final episode in telling the backstory of Levels. From here on out, we'll be talking about the company in real time. You'll be hearing more from thought leaders, from different team members. We'll talk about the highs, the lows, the things that come with building a startup. And as you listen, well, it's going to be an inside look behind the curtain at Levels. More to come, and thanks for being on this ride. We've been through a lot of things here, right? You've taken us through this history of 2017, this journey of Frontier Biometric. And then we got up to 2020, this like January 2020 period when there was a bot, like an SMS bot, and it was you, and then it was David, and then it was Mike D. And then eventually that became product. John Cruz came on board as the first engineering hire. And that really made a difference in how the product was being approached. But then there was this period of like continuous traction between January and July where things were happening, but July was really this turning point for traction.
The build, those 6 months were like it was a fast moving 6 months, but at the same time, it felt very long because the whole world was kind of changing simultaneously. Like we actually started a raise process. Like we were considering what we needed to put together in February. And by March, Sam had many conversations via email with investors, and we were queued up for a few meetings. And we did have like one or two, actually only one in-person meeting with partners with the whole founding team in place. And that's like actually one of the few times that the whole founding team has been in one one location. But then obviously early March, COVID hits and everything changes. And it was like in real time, we started to have to raise our eyebrows and think like, what is happening in the world? You know, this is getting a little bit crazy. obviously the fundraise process kind of dried up almost immediately. The investors just stopped responding to emails, obviously understandable given the uncertainty what was going on. But I just remember March was a very uncertain month. And yet at the same time, we saw no deceleration in interest in our product. In fact, things were accelerating. March, April, May were very strong months for us. I think May was a huge record, you know, looking back in terms of revenue, wasn't significant, but a huge record at the time. Like we had, I think, tripled month over month, and people were starting to engage with us on Instagram and Twitter. And we were getting these really cool signals that like, there's something cool about what we're doing. There's resonance here. There's a brand, and people are using the first version of the app. So all good signs and exciting, but then like simultaneously the world is upside down. And so we had kind of pulled back on the raise process and decided we're just going to tighten the belt a little bit and extend our current cash for as long as possible, keep burn low and focus on product, and then just see what's happening. And if we need to, we, you know, we can try and raise, you know, a round from existing investors or an angels or whatever we have to do, right? So we were just in this mode where it was like, all right, for the foreseeable future through the summer, we're in product mode. We're not really going to grow, but we are going to keep burn as low as possible and stay very flexible.
Have you thought about, like, July was this interesting period, because if you look back, so you look back April, May, June, from a revenue standpoint, it was pretty clear growth. And even with the wait list, like you can see this, I mean, it was good growth, but it was pretty incremental. In July, there was a ton of pickup on the wait list. That is one of the inflection points of it becoming exponential, and you start to see the hockey stick growth. But July is really, really interesting because it is relatively a year to the date of the juice cart incident. Like, not to dwell on it too much, but you went from end of May, start of June, thinking that it was game over, to a year later, there's this like exponential wait list and all this growth happening. Yeah. Like, have you thought about that?
Not a whole lot, actually. I remember blowing past my first year, like the year from Levels incorporation date, which was the end of June, and actually forgetting. It was just like went by. And then I think it was David was saying, hey, I think the 1 year of the company is around now. And that was a total shock to me. It was like, how is that possible? That doesn't make any sense. And then since then, I haven't really reflected on things other than the recognition that this is the third, you know, calendar year. Like, you know, January of 2021 hit New Year's Eve. I was thinking, wow, this is the third calendar year that Levels is in existence and that I've been working on it. I mean, obviously not chronological years, but the realization of that was pretty amazing. Like, there were major milestone events that occurred in 2019, and here we are in 21. And it just felt like it's kind of a significant realization and definitely made me pause for a minute and just absorb how fast things are moving.
It's so odd to think that we're coming up on, so we're still a little bit of ways away from June. We're recording right now. It's April 14th, 2021. And like June, July is only going to be 2 years. It's like two years since the juice cart, 2 years since the incorporation. And you're like, that is not a lot of time, you know, but it also is a ton of time in the sense of like, wow, there's been a lot of progress.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Sam and I really only had that serious conversation, that first conversation about what I was up to in, you know, late May 2019, we aren't even 2 years from that conversation. And so it is a totally mind-blowing paradigm shift. Like, the conversations that we get to have every day with investors and members and potential partners and like the biggest brands in our space or any adjacent one, is those conversations are just, it's otherworldly. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It feels like a Twilight Zone type of thing where it's status quo. Like, this is the business operating conditions today, and the rate of change to get here from there in such a short period of time. It's like, how did this not feel even crazier than it does?
Yeah. Like, it's wild to think like, oh, Joe Rogan or Oprah could use this product. That is mind-boggling, but at the same time, it's not unrealistic where you're like, well, I try to think of it almost like the iPhone, where in the early days of the iPhone, if you're on that team, maybe a person would nerd out and be like, man, like Oprah just got an iPhone. Can you believe it? And now like it seems ridiculous, right? You're like, of course right. This is an iPhone. Like, why would she not? Everyone has an iPhone. It's not that cool. You know, like it's not so, but that's what it feels like. It feels very early where some of these figureheads or these thought leaders or people that we just look up to in the world, you start to have conversations with them, or in Notion, we've got our aggregation of meeting notes, and you can see like any meeting notes that you or Sam or Casey, anybody has talked to somebody in a day. And you're just like, what?
Right.
Lance Armstrong. You're like, I guess, you know, like you don't question it, but it's somebody that you look up to, and it's really meaningful. Like it's really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think hitting that 1 year milestone and like having the acceleration happening simultaneously, we were definitely in the thick of it right there. Like July, the conversations actually had started to pick back up with investors, but we had so much more, I think, firepower on our side for those conversations that by the time we hit August, we were back deep in the raise process. And, you know, that year went by quickly, but it was actually really important that we had that pause, that sort of spring, summer timeframe to continue, I think, finding our footing. And because we made so much progress over those few months, and I think the conversations, like with the same people, you know, the same investors that we were talking to in March, had to have been staggered by the change in all of the numbers and the product between when we were talking to them, they shut down for COVID, and then when we reconvened, like when they decided to start writing checks again towards the end of the summer. I mean, things were so different on paper for levels. And that exponential curve was starting, and generally we were getting just so much traction organically in, you know, in tech Twitter and such. So yeah, it was a very cool time, very strange time. We were having so many troubles on the backside, like getting orders out the door to keep up and processing revenue effectively. And we were using all of these like, you know, janky tools to do things still, and yet it was accelerating. So it was painful, but it was painful in that good way that you always hear about for startups, like good problems to have type painful. And we were like always testing our assumptions. Like, is this just a fluke? Like, is it going to flicker out? And it hasn't yet.
That must have been interesting though, because so like last summer, July into August, things are ramping up and the team is starting to think more about a raise, you know? And anytime you go to raise money, you're like, are we going to be able to raise? Like, even if you think things are good, I think it's natural to be like, well, I hope we can raise, or like, are we going to be able to get the right people on our cap table and raise the amount of money that we feel we need at the right dilution to make sure that like everything is good? The reason that I ask is like the round was significant. Like the round is not anything to like sort of like turn away from. It was objectively one of the largest seed rounds in 2020. Like it just was. There were a couple other companies, and they happen to be Andreessen portfolio companies, but like Clubhouse, Levels, and Trove, or it was called Trove, those are the largest rounds done for seed rounds by A16Z in 2020.
Yeah. Again, then in the spring when we had started the process initially, like we were not looking to raise nearly that much. Quite a bit earlier in the product evolution, quite a bit earlier in the team size. And so that summer and spring of being able to like continue to gather intel and get feedback and build features out and grow the waitlist was really huge for demonstrating to ourselves and then also demonstrating for investors just how, you know, successful this venture could be, or at least what the early indications were. So I think that combined with some non-traditional fundraise techniques that we employed, specifically radical transparency and very, very high volumes of communication and update, I think gave an extraordinary amount of confidence to the investors we ended up raising from. They just were able to feel confidence in the team, I think, first and foremost, which is always, it's obviously always the biggest component of an early stage raise. But I believe that we leaned in, you know, obviously a ton of credit to Sam, but leaned in very hard on the very new paradigm of remote fundraising. We just were like, all right, this is going to be new. There's going to be a lot of confusion. It's going to be hard to close deals in this environment when we have never met many of these partners. And so we have to just be as transparent and as upfront and as proactively communicative as possible during this process, which is what we did. And it was, we felt a lot of confidence, I think, because all the indicators were very good. People were saying, like, this is the most information we've gotten from anyone trying to raise lately, or that was the best data dump I've ever seen. You know, those indicators were like, all right, good, we're doing the right things.
How were you thinking about it? Like, how did you feel when, like, $12 million is a big round, and let's call it a year, like it was just over a year. But again, like, we got to keep reverting back to the 30th birthday. At that point, you're 31, but like, you revert back to that. And it's like, that is not that long a period of time to go from, all right, it's time to move on to, I guess we're raising $12 million.
Yeah, very short period of time, all things considered. I mean, it was a really fun experience. Like, I'll just, such an educational process, and I'm lucky to have been able to just experience at all, let alone raising from some of the best in the business and on great terms. But like, throughout, it was really funny because there's just so many priorities in tension with one another. Like, during the raise process, we were migrating all of our order records and really our customer management, our member management, from like a series of disparate tools into our own database, and trying to like transition the order process in the physician consultation network into a new EMR, and just like a ton of massive tool changes necessary to continue to keep up with pace. And there was one particular stretch, which was in July and August, where we were like spinning up podcast efforts. We were migrating all of these operations requirements. This is before Ms. had joined. And we were in the throes of the investor conversations. And it was just every day was, I don't know, at least 10 hours of back-to-back zero gaps calls and conversations. And in the meantime, in like in any, at the front and end of that marathon, we're trying to get customer orders migrated and work out like bugs and missed orders and communicate with customers. And it was just mayhem. But the funny thing was just, I would get this profound sense of like efficiency, where every conversation was oriented around getting as much information transmitted as quickly as possible, with the attempt or the goal of ending the conversation early with all parties like fully satisfied and having all the information they need, so that I could gain 5 minutes back to like jump into the database and like fix a problem. I remember it being kind of being a surreal moment, because I was talking to some really important, like very, very successful people, and it was all business. It was just like, jump in, get it done, jump out, get to work. And that transition as well, which is it's a nuance, but the very first time I took an important VC call, I was just so stressed out and sweating bullets and like trying to memorize lines and all that stuff. And then from there to late in the process, I felt like a veteran already. And I don't know, it's hard to say. I'm not, obviously not a veteran, but it was just, your psychology adapts to your priorities. And I think in the back of my mind, the most important thing was getting those orders out and making sure that that process was still moving. And maybe in some way that also came across in the conversations where to the investors, where they could like tell that things were tense in a good way. Like, we were operationally overloaded in a very good way. And like, I actually remember, so just to jump forward a little bit, the process was a good one, fairly quick, all things considered. We had decided to move forward. We really wanted to close terms with A16. And I remember the night that it happened, Sam and I were on a call. We talked to Vijay and like closed the terms. And I just got up out of my desk after that closed, and kind of like, it was late at night, I don't even remember what time, stumbled into the bathroom and just like saw myself in the mirror. And I like had this, I think I took a selfie actually, because I was like, this is what it looked like to close, you know, that round. And I just looked haggard. I mean, looked like I hadn't slept in 3 days. I was wearing clothes that, I mean, just like a big baggy shirt and bags under my eyes. I was just like, not that glamorous, not going to pop champagne, just going to try and get some sleep. And it was just such a good feeling, but also it was very rewarding, but also it like felt different than what you probably expect it to feel like.
Or maybe exactly the same, right? Like, yeah, you know, you know, it shouldn't be easy. I think that maybe you're framing it as like, you close around and everybody like gives the cheers and you're celebrating. And instead you're just like, no, I just ran a marathon. Of course I look this way.
Yeah. I think in my mind, it was like when you raise from the biggest and the best, you know, it's going to be a polished conference room and handshaking and congratulations and all these things. And in fact, it was me in my bedroom with like 10 empty cans of LaCroix piled up and having not shaved.
So then from the raise, like the raise was super interesting because that was this other inflection point. There was like July and then the raise was October, but it was announced in November. So we'll just say in that period, like late fall period, there was a ton more momentum on tech Twitter, on Instagram with publications. So a lot of media coming out talking about the raise. And then that's when Haney, so Mike Haney, who's head of content, he started around that time as well. And there were all of these factors that started compounding. And it really brought a lot of momentum into present day.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Miz as well. He started up in September, Haney in October. And well, we unlocked a lot of operational capacity over the summer, just migrating off very poorly kludged together tools into a uniform order and customer records database. And that process was huge for unlocking kind of spare capacity, but we still didn't have the team resources to make the best of it and scale effectively and have a really strong member communications system in place. And so Miz came in as, you know, our head of ops to take that on. That was a huge, huge improvement for the team. I mean, so organized, so effective. And so that was big. Haney, like you said, Casey had been handling a huge number, like the clinical side, she'd been handling the press and PR and outreach for podcasts and podcasts themselves. And just like all of this stuff was certainly stretching her thin as well. And so Haney coming in and being able to take off the sort of strategy and more like the execution, I guess, is like just getting executional cadence in place and being able to provide her with like a really strong counterpart and backstop for all of the press and content. It came together at just the right moment because that was, you know, when we did announce the raise, it was a really, you know, big deal. I mean, I had no idea how much attention that moment was going to get. And I certainly spent a few weeks like just drowning in email. And I had never recovered on LinkedIn from that raise announcement. Like I'm still hundreds or maybe thousands of DMs behind on LinkedIn. And I, every once in a while, I go in there and try and catch up, and it's just a hopeless case. So yeah, we got a deluge. And I think a number of things came together at once. Obviously, A16 in and of themselves, like making a deal is really important. But then the fact that it was done in a remote environment post-COVID, the space itself, like the indication, I think the vote of confidence in the future of bio-wearables was a really, really big one. To have A16 invest in something like this takes it from fringe and biohackery and gives it such mainstream cachet. And so I think that just resonated throughout healthcare and throughout the wearable industry and general tech scene. Was really impressive. And, you know, we had luckily the team capacity to keep up and to, I think, make an announcement and a social response or like social media response that it merited.
Yeah, you could feel like there was a lot of signaling. I mean, there always is with investments, right? When you have certain funds that a company is aligned with, it's a big market signal, especially within the tech world, right? So like TechCrunch will pick up and say, oh, this fund is backing this company. And that becomes a signal to prospective talent, to other investors, to other companies. And I think when, like, I think Sam and I had connected, or maybe you and I had connected before this as well. I think we had, but we'll call it before times, like before times as in before the raise was announced, we had chatted for like maybe, I don't know if it was like a week or a few weeks or whatever it was, but like you could feel just based on Friday forums alone, you could feel the difference. You could see it in numbers. You could feel it in what was being said, where it was like, wow, there's a lot of attention to what's going on. And even you saying now, like, yeah, I remember you saying on a forum, like I was watching as a viewer, I remember you saying like the number of emails I've gotten from people, whether it was like friends congratulating me or other people inquiring about like, are you guys growing your team? It was just one of those things that was exponential and you're like, I can't keep up. I remember you saying some comment like that, yeah. But that was like a major, major inflection point. And then take it into January, like January of this year. So January 21, you did a nice recap at the beginning of the year saying like, wow, look at all this stuff that happened. And between January and now, like we're into Q2. It's just been this like continuous momentum and we're trying to keep the pace up. We're trying to keep the velocity up and get launched. So it's interesting what's happening in the space. It's interesting what's happening from a company perspective and from a team perspective, how we're all trying to push it as hard as we can to make sure that things can get launched.
Yeah. The signaling power of that raise still blows my mind. And it really was way beyond our expectations in terms of validating the company, validating the mission statement. And I think just generally bringing attention, you know, just the pure impressions power was amazing. And so obviously we had high hopes. And when we were closing the deal, you know, we were just optimistic that this was going to be a turning point. We were seeing so much progress on all the important stuff, all the business fundamentals of having a wait list with, you know, willingness to pay and members who were giving us great NPS responses and all those sort of pieces. But having that big validation moment, we hope would obviously boost the signal. And it totally beat my expectations many times over. And we're certainly riding that wave. I mean, that will continue to be a part of obviously the Levels story going forward. And it's kind of hard to tease out where that signal boost ends. I don't think it does. It's like a permanent part of our brand now. So when we have conversations, it's in the context of this is a validated organization, like, you know, raising from A16 and not to mention the sort of litany of investors who came on to the cap table as part of our safe round and pre-seed and seed round. We've now really landed. And so looking at how that carried through to press coverage, you know, we're now sitting here and Levels has been covered in the New York Times and had a full spread in Men's Health, has been discussed in Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. It's bizarre to say those words. And I don't think those words happen without that raise going as it did, the scale of it, specifically from whom, timing, all of that. And so it's brought knock-on effects that we're going to continue to benefit from. And whether it's just from exposure, for members finding us, future members finding us, or, you know, team, just the team growth has been phenomenal. We're, you know, you and I were just before recording this conversation talking about some of our recent team additions and just how out of the ballpark amazing they are and how the team continues to get better. And I think all of this is, it's all one thread, like it's all connected. None of these happens without the other, I don't think.
Were your expectations different? Like in the way that you framed the signaling of A16Z, were they different because of maybe the lens through which you looked at fundraising previously, where it was like almost, did it exceed your expectations because of not being as immersed in the fundraising environment? Or like, what was sort of the outlook on it? Because there's, the reason I ask is in the world of like VC nerd world, there are certain funds that if a company raises from, I think anybody who follows like the VC nerd world is like, oh, XYZ is part of that round. That is a strong signal and like the implications of it are this. And the reason I think that is because I've seen this happen 10 times before. Do you kind of know what I'm getting at? Where it's like,
Yeah, you're nailing it. I mean, for me, my background is like it's in VC startup world, but it's in a very, I think, different corner of it. Like SpaceX and Tesla and all of these big hardware companies, like they raise VC money. But the signal that I, as a mechanical engineer, look for is, did they make it to orbit? Or like, who is running their technical team? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like my own industry change and education experience to come up to speed on how things work here. And of course, like I know A16Z and I know companies that they've been investing in, and I know all about the, you know, their thesis and how successful they've been. But for some reason, I underestimated the degree to which that would be like an accelerant for a company like ours, which is, you know, we're not moving atoms, we're moving bits and bytes, and how quickly. I think it's ultimately what it's about is the difference between an idea spreading and kind of an immobile milestone having to happen, something like getting to orbit for SpaceX. It doesn't matter how excited people get, it doesn't improve the likelihood that you get to orbit. really, or at least didn't feel that way. Whereas with Levels, it's like, if we need to grow the team effectively and build a product that's going to change the future of metabolic health, and you can like very rapidly change the likelihood of that happening by making an announcement that you raise from a company like A16Z and getting the attention of the individual who will enter the organization and be instrumental in making that happen. And because it is software and data science and member experience and these types of components that are, the iteration time can be so much better than hardware, I think I just underestimated how fast that shift can happen and how much of it is the spread of ideas. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it probably, like, you can sort of take it in any direction because, and apply it to all these categorical things, right? So you saying, oh, as a mechanical engineer, I care about who's leading the team. That's a signal. And take this, like, if Don Valentine gave you the nod in VC, like, that was a big signal. Mm-hmm. I mean, in perpetuity, it always was. Like, if you're in music and Bob Rock is like, hey, I'm producing your record. Well, like, Bob Rock is AC/DC, is Bon Jovi, is Shania Twain. Keep naming people. Yeah. That's the signal. And I think you'd take this if Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Like, just name some category. That's the nod. And that's the interesting thing. And it's kind of like, one would know if like Neil deGrasse Tyson gave you a nod on something related to astrophysics, you'd be like, well, I know that's good. But then if you have a limited lens of that world, you might look at it and be like, I knew it was going to be good. I did not know it was going to be that, yeah. You know?
Exactly. I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, Sam and I talked a lot about the signaling component of the raise and how important it would be. And, you know, I totally agreed that it's important that we excel in this raise process and that we close a really top name fund. But looking back on it, like, I did not have the context for how important it was, actually. Like, I knew that it was important, and I raising the money and having the runway was top of mind. But what I didn't quite grasp was like how much we could have left on the table. You know what I mean? If we hadn't been able to close A16, it's really, you know, challenging to tell, like, where would we be right now? You know, how much of this delta between late summer of last year and now is due to some of that signal boost and being able to get the attention of people earlier than we otherwise would have. And all of this stuff, again, is squishy and blends together, and it's tough to be able to tease it apart. But all I can say is that it was certainly rocket fuel for the trajectory we were on.
Yeah. And it's easy to understand why people can say like, well, raising's raising, like, it doesn't mean anything. It comes down to execution, right? Like, that is very much a reality. And there is nothing guaranteed about startups. I mean, the failure rate is extremely high, and you always have to ask yourself, like, why would you even do that? The probability of success is so low. And when you actually get down to not just like, you start to define what is success, like, not just like we are alive or we are not alive. It is like, do you get to a meaningful place where you're able to actually solve the problem you're trying to solve? Did you set out and were you able to achieve the thing that you're trying to do? And for us, it's solving the metabolic health crisis. And that's this massive global endeavor that just seems like it's Sisyphean in every endeavor, every approach we take. It's very, very hard, right? But like, when it comes down to execution, it's April. Like, where are we headed?
Well, just to wrap up the VC conversation there real quick, you know, I think that to some extent, it's absolutely true that it all comes down to execution. But along the way, a very important waypoint, and not all teams need to raise from a top name fund in order to be successful. We've seen that 1,000 times. But a really strong waypoint validation and I think unlock is that moment. We were able to achieve that. And I think that provides morale, you know, support for the existing team, validation of the existing concept, but also, you know, as we touched on, it provides intangible and tangible resources that you can tap again and again and again. And that's where we are right now, is that we're still riding that wave of credibility and validation. And as we're heading into 2021, which I think is going to be, other than the 0-1 of just like starting the company and getting our first customer and all of that, like, extremely first moments sort of process, this year is going to be the most important for the company thus far, obviously. And I think for potentially the lifetime, 2021 is the year that Levels is going to really break out. And, you know, the words mainstream, I think, are going to be thrown around by the end of this calendar year, because there's so much raw pent up demand and need for this. And we are approaching the operational and sort of team environment necessary to really open the floodgates and start growing for the first time, which obviously is a whole new phase of a company. And so that's where we're heading. We're heading towards, I think, the year that will be definitional for the future. And those that look closely will talk about the A16 raise and the key hires and all the, you know, the stuff that happened prior to 2021. But 2021, I think, is going to be a defining year for us.
You should go get back to email or cleaning your apartment or whatever you're going to do. All of the above. Go spin on your Peloton.
Got that done this morning.